Our text that Terry read from is Joshua's retirement speech that he made as one of the last things he said to the children of Israel. And he was a great military leader. And as a military leader, he was warning Israel about the possibility that they could lose everything that they had fought for and battled so hard to win. They could lose it. He was like a true statesman. And the definition of that is well given by James Freeman Clark. I don't know when he made it, but it was a long time ago. He said, a politician thinks of the next election, a statesman of the next generation. We don't have very many statesmen around. We have a lot of politicians, but not very many statesmen who are thinking about the future of our country. God had helped the Israelites to build a homeland, and Joshua was talking to them about how to preserve it for their children and their children's children. How? God's answer is patriotism. And why do I say patriotism? Because the virtue of patriotism prepares us for loyalty to God's kingdom. It's almost built in. It's like a reflex that's built into the human heart. And God put it there so that we would learn how to be loyal to the kingdom of God. Patriotism comes from the word patria. It means homeland. But the word patria, the literal meaning of the word patria, is the fatherland. The fatherland. Patriotic loyalty can become corrupt. It can become corrupted. It can become misdirected. It can become idolized. But God our Father intends patriotism and patriotic loyalty to point to a higher form of commitment. That is, allegiance to God's kingdom. Someday, all earthly homelands will vanish, including the United States. Every land that is a homeland will be done away with. Someday. That's what's going to happen. And in that someday, in that day of judgment, our loyalty, our devotion and loyalty to our eternal homeland, that is the kingdom of God, that will be the measure of our lives here on the earth. Patriotic duties are part of what it means to be born a citizen. The same is true for being born again in the kingdom of God. But patriotism itself is a learned attitude. It's something we learn. And it teaches us spiritual lessons. And one of these lessons, the first one I want to talk about, patriotism submits to a higher law than self-interest. It submits to a higher law than self-interest. I love this verse that we sang in the other service, America the Beautiful, verse 2. O beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. To be morally strong, a nation must preserve its spiritual ideals and the ethics upon which it was founded. The ethical motivations. The words of our pledge allegiance to the United States are pledged to the flag. One nation under God. You know, people are trying to get that taken out. If we don't preserve that, that's one more step away from patriotism. The same is true for our money. In God we trust is stamped on our money. People are trying to get rid of that too. People are trying to we can't mix church and state. Let me tell you something. The founding fathers did not have a concept of separation of church and state. They just wanted to preserve persecution if you were of a different faith or what. In God we do trust. But it is being fought. It's a continual battle to try to hold on to those things in our pledge to the flag and on our money. When I was in college studying to be a nurse, I had one of my most interesting courses because of the professor. He was retiring. He was an older fellow. And he said something when he was seeing what was happening in our country in his day. That was several years ago. And here's what he said. And I was so glad he said it, I memorized it. History shows that a civilization crumbles and falls apart when it forsakes its ethic. And he was real serious when he said that, and I was surprised that a college professor would say that, but he didn't care. He was going to be retired, and he said, I'm going to state it. And we all knew what he was talking about, and everybody got silent. But I wish it had gone to their hearts, because it seems like our world has not held on to that vision, that if we forsake our ethic, we're going to crumble. Our nation was founded upon patriotic ideals that put our country's welfare above self-interest. But today, many think that the number one rule in America is to do your own thing. And then our political leaders and our educational leaders have made that popular and have made that to be what's politically correct. Christians have a dual citizenship. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. Joshua said in verse 6, be very strong. Be very strong to obey God's word. The word to be strong in the King James Version is to be courageous. And it takes a lot of courage today to stand for God's truth in the midst of this culture many times. And it's getting to be politically incorrect to stand up for God and stand up for his truth. But patriotism demands it. Our allegiance is to a higher law than self-interest. And that higher law is God's kingdom law. His kingdom law is the law of love. And let me tell you, it's tough love. It steps on some toes. Because it's like what happened in the other service. There was one of the banners was a little bit askew. Whoever put it up did not see that it was a little bit off. And I thought, you know, I'm going over there and I'm going to straighten it out. And when I did, I just gave a little sermon illustration of what my message was about, because I said, when people are up close to something, they don't see things correctly sometimes. They need to step back and get perspective on what it looks like in the big picture, not just in the microscopic picture, but in the big picture. What will this decision we have made do to the world, to our country, to our families? What will it do? And that's not thought of necessarily in all the decisions. And something is crooked, and it needs to be straightened out. It needs to be straightened out. The right perspective. Patriotism guards the boundaries of its citizenship. This is the next point. Patriotism guards the boundaries of its citizenship. Traitors are the opposite of patriots. They ruin the integrity of their nation by maintaining foreign allegiances that lead to acts of treason against national security. That's what a traitor is. It's not a patriot. Citizens of God's kingdom are to have one mindset. Christ is king. Christ is king. And those patriots do not betray that allegiance with worldly thinking. And this means no fraternizing with the enemy. No fraternizing with the enemy. Joshua said in verse 7, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. We must resist betraying our king, as Jesus avoided disobeying his father's will. What did he say to Satan? He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In true patriotism, there is no wavering in our loyalty to God. Verse 8, Joshua said, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. Divided national loyalties among citizens destabilize a nation. James chapter 1, verse 8 says, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and this is true of a nation. A double-minded nation, where citizens are double-minded about things. This is true of a nation's life, and it's true of the believer's life, the believer's spiritual life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Instability occurs in a Christian's spiritual life when the boundaries of citizenship in the kingdom of God are broken down by disloyalty to the sovereign reign of the King, the sovereign rule of our Lord and Savior. Number three, patriotism fights for its country's values. A nation must be defended against enemies, but those enemies are enemies without and enemies within. We spend a lot of money on defense in this country. Defense spending is necessary. It's needed to defend our liberty. But moral training is needed to preserve that liberty. Moral training has been kicked out when it kicked out God from the classroom. Ever since prayer was banned in 1963, the U.S. has had a steady decline in academic excellence and in a progressive increase in crime, divorce, and sexual promiscuity in this country since that time. This decision was by the majority of Supreme Court justices. I don't know. You know, these Supreme Court justices are now all dead. And they're all standing before the Supreme Judge, the one who is actually reviewing that decision right now and asking for an explanation. If they had only listened, if they had only listened to the early founding fathers of this country, they would have never done that. They would have never listened to a small voice. They would have kept God in the country. I believe personally that this verse of Scripture, Romans 1:22, analyzes what will be stated at that courtroom where the Supreme Court is. Our Supreme Court Judge Jesus is going to analyze all this. Romans 1:22 says, "Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." And it's so obvious. Americans must look in the mirror if they want to see our worst enemy. Our worst enemy is a society that has proudly declared its independence from God. God doesn't have nothing to do with this country. We do not want to kick God out because He is our only hope. Actually, our only hope is national repentance. God promises to preserve our country. God promises to preserve our country and our land if we will turn from our wicked ways. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Most national enemies are also enemies of God's kingdom. National enemies in the moral realm. And those are enemies within. They are within our country in the moral realm. Those are also enemies of God's kingdom. But God is greater. And that's what Joshua was saying here. In verse 9, he says, "The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you." You know, God blessed America in previous wars until the Vietnam War. And guess when the Vietnam War happened? Right after this nation kicked God out of the classroom. 1963 and 1965, it escalated into what we call the beginning of the Vietnam War. The big mistake was the war itself. Maybe if we'd had better guidance, we wouldn't have got into it. But you know what? The bigger mistake was to kick God out of our schools and out of the minds of our children. There's promises within God's Word like this: "Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." That works unless the world has taken over the heart and kicked God out. Another one: Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it unless the church has allowed hell to walk in from the back door. These promises are good and God will make them good, but we have a responsibility. Prayer is the power. It's the power that can that one has against a thousand. This is what Joshua said. One of you routs a thousand because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. That's God's promise. Prayer is a powerful weapon, but it must begin with that prayer of repentance. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, confess their sin, repent and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear, then I will heal their land. Prayer is our main spiritual weapon of warfare. And we're in a battle. And I have to say we've lost a lot of ground in this battle because we have not listened to God's word. But prayer is powerful. It says that one can rout a thousand. One is a minority. The Christian voice in America is becoming a great minority because many people who claim to be Christians are joining with the other side. And they don't want to hear anything about patriotism in a sense that our founding fathers knew it. But this is our weapon, prayer. Listen to what this says, what prayer can do. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Prayer is our weapon, and by prayer we fight for our country, and we fight for victory in the kingdom of God. Patriotism has higher laws than self-interest. Patriotism guards the integrity of its citizenship, and patriotism fights for its moral values of its country. And when patriotism dies, the foreign foe infiltrates. And this is what Joshua warned against in verse 12 and 13. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given to you. What a warning. This was a military statesman that we don't see very often today. He is not getting us, I think the last one that I saw, and I've heard him again and again on YouTube, and you can just take a check on YouTube and you hear him, Ronald Reagan, standing up and saying, we need to get back to the Bible in this country. We need to exalt God in this country and exalt prayer. And you hear, it's like a preacher, and I think, we don't know what we lost when we lost Ronald Reagan as our president. There needs to be more of those kind of people in political office that will stand up and speak for God and warn us like Joshua was warning with this awesome warning. Let's be very careful to love our country. To love our country with tough love. Love our country with the truth. That's the only kind of love that really counts. True love. And that patriotism is that true love for our country. Patriotism that honors the God who gave us our country. And it will prepare us, as it says in verse 11, to be very careful to love the Lord our God. So, patriotism, the virtue of patriotism, is that it prepares us for loyalty in God's kingdom. I pray that we become very, very patriotic again, like it was in the old days. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Your word warns us. We cannot say that we have not been warned. Lord, we have had people in high places in this country that have made very, very bad decisions. And we ask, Lord, for forgiveness for our country because of it. We have to plead. Lord, we want to turn away from our wickedness in this country. And we ask, God, that you would help us to do so. You have blessed us in many ways. We have so much liberty still to speak, but very quickly, very, very quickly, our voice can be silenced and stilled by different kinds of laws that will not even let us to speak like I'm speaking today in this pulpit. I pray, Father God, that you would bless America. We pray that prayer. God, bless America. Help us, Lord, to come to our senses and turn back to the God who gave us our liberty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.